Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to see that one of the great things about chapter 40 is that it goes through the steps between the darkness and the judgment, but also between light and salvation. Now, notice how he starts verse 1. Comfort you, yes, comfort you, my people, saith your God. You know, I think one of the areas that Christianity brings about is comfort. And we know that the Holy Spirit brings comfort to each one of us individually. He's called the great comforter, the Holy Spirit. And you figure how God's people, Israel here, all the things that they had been through, all the things that they were facing in their own personal lives, but then put it to your own lives. What seems to be your problem tonight? Whether it's small or it's big. Do you really believe in the salvation that God has given to each one of us individually by faith? Looking to Him as the author, the finisher of our great faith. And here He says, comfort, yes, comfort you, my people. We are His people. Here He's speaking of Israel. And most of Israel, they don't believe in God. But one day God is going to open their eyes. And God is going to bring comfort to the people of God, just like the church today. Look at all the things that people are going through. Think of people in the church, not outside of the church. You're here tonight. And you become discouraged. You become bummed out. And yet when you look at the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's only one thing that I can do, and that's comfort myself in Him. He's the only one that can comfort me. He's the only one that has given me the Holy Spirit to lead me, to guide me, to bring me to that place of conviction so that I don't go away from Him, but He draws me closer to His heart. And He intercedes for me that when I trip and fall or I sin against God, He's always there as the intercessor. And the devil comes along and accuses you, accuses me in the presence of God. And Jesus, as the adversary, as our personal lawyer, stands there and says, Father, he's one of mine, she's one of mine, and Satan cannot do anything about it. That's who we have in Christ Jesus, you guys. Don't let Satan lie to you and bum you out. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Come to a place of comfort. Comfort in the Lord. And then he says, speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So here, the day of God's judgment or the God's day's forgiveness that is coming and restoration of God's people. So cool. That right now maybe Israel doesn't really believe, but there's a day of restoration coming where God is going to heal Israel. And in the tribulation period, in the middle of the 3.5 years, once they build the temple, God is going to send 144,000 Jews that have never touched a woman. They're virgins. And they're going to minister. And then Elijah, and probably Moses, Moses stands for the law and Elijah for the prophets, he's going to send these two prophets. They're going to come and they're going to preach. And they're going to be able to close the heavens where no rain. And eventually, they're going to take him and they're going to kill him. The Antichrist will kill him. And when you read the book of Revelation, when he kills them, they leave him on the street. In Israel, when somebody dies, even today, they bury him on the same day. Same day they bury you. They'll be lying on the streets, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God's going to enter into their bodies. And they're going to rise up, and they're going to be going to heaven, and everyone will see it. Can you imagine what it's going to be like for you and I when Jesus comes at the rapture of the church? He has come from the Old to the New Testament to, notice, give us forgiveness. By Him going to the cross, dying for our sins. And look at the restoration that He's going to do with Israel. And think about this. Look at the restoration you and I have tonight. Where we used to be and where we are tonight. So awesome. To see the hand of God in my life. To see the hand in your lives. Something that none of us could ever do except by the power of the Holy Spirit. When we submit to Him, when we ask Him to forgive us, when we not only confront Him in our lives and say, Lord, whatever you want in my life, whatever you want to do, Lord, here am I, send me. Just like Isaiah chapter 6, remember that. And then he says in verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare you the word of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Who's he talking about? John the Baptist. Again, look, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Prepare who? The way for Jesus. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isn't that cool? He quotes from the book of Matthew. Later on in Matthew, we see the quotation from Isaiah in chapter 3. When John the Baptist sees Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And he brings him and he baptizes him. And the Father's voice comes. The Holy Spirit is there. And Jesus, the triunity of God. The Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So here Isaiah is giving us the prophecy about John coming. And then look at verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill brought low. So here we see that Isaiah now centers on the coming Messiah. Jesus is going to come. You know, what a glorious day that's going to be when Jesus comes again. I mean, he's been gone for 1900 years. A lot of times when you talk to non-believers, they say, well, you know, the church has been saying that for a long time, that Christ is going to come, but he's never come. Well, the Bible says it's not our timing, it's his timing. If he would have come 20 years ago, let's say 50 years ago, 100 years ago, how many of us today would not be saved? We would be in hell. But each one of us individually, according to God's time, he saved us. And he forgave us for every one of our sins. And we need to look to Jesus Christ coming. Because first of all, I told you before, according to Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, there is a generation that will never die. Never. They're going to be transformed. We call that the rapture of the church. And when Jesus comes for his church, it's not going to be the church, it's going to be the remnant in the church that have obeyed the word of God and are living according to the word of God. It's always been a remnant. Remember Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 7? When he's speaking that the way to heaven is very straight, very few people enter. But the way to hell, he said, is broad. And many, many go there. That's why I thank God that you're here on Wednesday nights to learn the word of God. Living Monday through Friday through Sunday, the word of God in our lives. Teaching our children, teaching our grandchildren the importance of having faith in Jesus Christ. Because when he comes, verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. When Christ comes, think what he's going to do. The kingdom age will come. We will be there with our new heavenly bodies. People that go from the actual, before the second coming, Christ comes back. Those that are left behind, and those that will be Christians during the 7-year tribulation, then those that survive, they're going to be judged, and they're going to be led into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But the others, it says what? The sheep and the lambs will make a difference. The goats, they'll be thrown into hell. And I do not understand that after 1,000 years of Christ ruling and reigning, and Satan at the second coming is put into the bottomless pit, tied up in a chain where he can't tempt. And Christ being here for 1,000 years, and those people that repopulate the earth at the end of 1,000 years, God opens a pit, unlocks it, Satan comes back out one more time, and he goes out and deceives hundreds and thousands of millions of people that live in the kingdom age and they saw Jesus. I don't understand that either. And then Satan's cast into the lake of fire. The Antichrist, a false prophet. And then remember in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, verses 15 to the end, he opens the books, and whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. Every person that has ever gone to hell one day is going to be judged. Think of how many people in the times of Rome, they killed 6 million Christians. 6 million, they went to heaven. And then how about the flood in Genesis chapter 6? When God said to Noah, 120 years, and then the end's going to come. I'm going to give 120 years of grace. I want you to build me an ark. One window, three stories, and one door. And what's incredible is that when he built the ark, after 120 years, the people never repented. It was the worst time in the history of that time. And then God said, okay, Noah, time to go in. And he brought the animals two by two, clean, unclean, and put them into the ark. And then the Bible says this, and God shut him in. God closed the door. The door of God's grace had come to an end. 130 million people drowned in the flood. Only 8 people survived. 8 is the number of new beginnings. 7 days in the week, on the 8th day, we start a new week. 7,000 years, and on the 8,000 years, we start the new heavens and the new earth. Isn't that cool? God's word. God's word. When you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 1 through 12, that's 2,000 years completed. From chapter 12 to chapter 50, 350 years, and then you go all the way to the book of Malachi. And you come to the book of Matthew chapter 1, 4,000 years now. And then from the first coming of Christ to the second coming, 2,000 years, that's 6,000 years. And the kingdom age is 7,000 years. And we're just about to close the 6,000 years. And then God's going to come. Man, this is so awesome the way Isaiah brings about the things about Jesus here. He says in verse 5, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. When he comes in all glory, think about that. In the Old Testament, remember when Israel came out of Egypt and they were following the Lord and the Shekinah glory, there was a cloud. Whenever they would stop and they would line up with the tribes, and then the center of the camp would be the Ark of the Covenant. And the Shekinah glory of God over them. And if you were flying on an airplane and you were looking down on the camp, you would see the sign of the cross and the Ark of the Covenant in the middle, the presence of God in the middle of the people. When you go back to the book of Exodus, when the angel of death was going to come, Moses, I want you to tell every firstborn son, if they have them, if you don't want me to kill them, I want you to take a lamb, kill it, take the blood, tell them, take the blood, put it on top of the doorpost and on both sides. And when the angel of death comes, they won't kill your child, your firstborn. Because remember, Pharaoh's firstborn was going to be killed. And every firstborn that didn't have the blood. So when you look at that door, okay, and you take the blood and you put it on top of the doorpost, on both sides of the door, what is it? The sign of the cross, redemption, atonement. Things to come, things and shadows of things to come in the Old Testament to be fulfilled by Jesus Christ. The Word of God. God's holy Word. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so this is God speaking. The promise. The voice said, Messiah, cry out, and said, what shall I cry? All flesh is like grass, and all loveliness is like the flower of the field. Notice what he says here. The frailty of man. Isn't that weird? And we think that we're so strong. We're only one breath away from eternity. Remember that. One breath. When people die, they take their last breath. And yet we think that we're going to last forever and there's no problem that, you know, nobody's going to really kill me. I'm not going to get killed in an accident. You know, you never know when your time will come. God has an appointed time. Some of you, maybe tonight, some of you tomorrow, next week, next month, or whenever, but every one of us are going to die. There's an appointed time for a man to die and then the judgment. The judgment. No one shall see the Lord apart from holiness. Hebrews. Chapter 12, verse 10. He goes on in verse 7. The grass withers and the flower fades, Because the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are like grass. He's saying life is short, you guys. Life is very short. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever and ever and ever. The value of God's word, the Bible stands forever. Never will be perishing, the word of God. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid, saith the cities of Judah. Behold your God. Judah is the southern kingdom, 2 tribes, and Israel is the northern kingdom, 10 tribes. When you come to this place, Israel, the 10 tribes, Jeroboam, being in the north, breaking away from the south, and say, we're going to go up there to Tel Dan, and we're going to put up, you know, we'll come once a year to Jerusalem. When they got up to Tel Dan, they never came back. They started to make an altar. If you went to Israel, remember, they made an altar. And there they would burn and offer the calves. The calves. And then God uses, and hear me well, God uses people, nations, to chasten a nation or to chasten a people. You know who God used against the northern kingdom? Assyria. 722 BC, Assyria came and took them captive. And most of them, when they took them captive, they were the worst people you would want to be captive by. They would take fish hooks, put them in your nose or in your lip, and they would drag you away. They would bury you up to your nose so you could slowly die. And the sun could hit your head and, you know, got to cook your brain. They would do family separations. And God used the worst people in the world to judge his people in the north. Now you figure. In the south of Jerusalem, the south was watching her sister being judged. And you would say, well, you know, if they watched it, then you know what you would learn. Man, I don't want to get judged like that. For 160 years later, they got judged the same way, and God used Babylon 70 years into captivity. And he uses people like that to chasten the people of God or a nation. A nation. Man, the church needs to repent to the Lord. Don't keep your eyes on government. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Pray for government. I don't believe government. Because the only one I believe is God's word, because God's word already has warned me. Never to put my trust in man, but to put my trust in the Lord. Yes, I'm to obey the laws that the government talks about. I pay my taxes. I do exactly everything you want me. But the day they say that I cannot worship God, they better kill me. Because I'm not going to put up with that. Righteousness unto the Lord, you guys. Don't compromise. Pay your taxes. Don't steal from the government. Pay your taxes. Give to God what belongs to God. And the reason is because Jesus is coming. And one day we're going to be what? We're going to be judged. God already judged our sin. Gone. But we trip and we fall every day. And one day, all of our works that we've done are going to be put into the fire. Wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver. 1 Corinthians 3, you can read that. 2 Corinthians 5:10. And it's going to burn, and whatever comes out of the fire, that is going to be your reward. And if there's nothing coming out of the fire, you will be saved by the grace of God. By the grace of God. But remember, there's going to be ruling and reigning in the world to come. Surely you want to rule and reign. It's so awesome when you read the scriptures. He goes on to say in verse 10, behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. His arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. So he's coming to reward all his work before him. He will feed his flock, Jesus, like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs on his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with the young. Jesus said what? I am the good shepherd. I will feed my sheep. Who's the sheep? You and I. You and I are his sheep. Read John chapter 10. So cool. We are the sheep of his pasture. Read Psalm 23. He goes 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. I mean, he created the earth. Can you imagine? He created the earth. He spoke and the oceans came about. The stars, the universe. All kinds of planets. And how many universes we don't even know. I mean, it's incredible. When you look at God's creation, this who measured, notice the waters, the hollow of his hand. So the ocean, how big it is, look how big God is. He says he measured the heavens, notice, with a span, he says, and calculate the dust of the earth in a measure. Hey, go to the beach and pick up sand with just your palm. Count the little mite of sand. How many you think are there? As the stars of heaven. Can you imagine all the sand, little grains of sand? The sand in the seas. Incredible how God says it here. He says, and calculate the dust of the earth in a measure. Weigh the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance. And who directed the Spirit of the Lord, he says, or as his counsel, or as he who taught him. So here we see what? That all have been done by him. Creator, Savior, Master, Forgiver of all of our sins. Verse 14. With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge? Showed him the way of understanding? I mean, who taught God? Nobody. He's God. Nobody. He teaches us. We are his people. We're the ones that have come to Christ. We're the ones that need instruction. Can you imagine that in all eternity, even before you and I were born, he already knew us? Man, I can't even understand that. He already knew us by name. And then when he knew us, he already knows not only my heart, he knows our situation, even tonight here. Then why is it that we can't have faith in him and say, Lord, this is my situation. I'm going to take a leap of faith. He says, with whom did he take counsel? Again, look at instruction. He goes all the way understanding. Verse 15, behold, the nations are a drop in a bucket. Notice what he says here. A drop in the bucket. And are counted as a small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles and very little things. So here he puts in the scale a little weight. He weighs the dust. 11, he says, is not sufficient to burn, or literally the forest. Nor is beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him as nothing. And they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom will you liken God? Okay, how do you liken God in your life? What is he like in your life? Think about it. Well, the Bible says that he made us in his own image. In his own image. And he's the one that breathed into my life so that I could breathe. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they were there in the garden, man, first of all, Adam was in the garden and God gave him the power to name every animal, which means he was intelligent. And then God saw Adam when all the animals were actually created. Then God saw the emptiness and loneliness of man that he needed a partner. So what did he do? He put him to sleep. He took one of his ribs and he created a woman. In Hebrew, a man means ish and the woman is ish-ah. And he created this woman. Now he said from the closest part of man's heart, a rib. He took woman from the closest part of man's heart so that man could not step on woman or woman could be above the head of man. Men are to love wives and be in submission to God. The problem today in marriages is the wife doesn't submit to the husband. You know why? Because the husband's not the spiritual leader of your home. You can't submit to someone that's not the spiritual leader of your home. So what do? They take the leadership with their kids. And then you have a woman that is not a Christian. You're a Christian as a husband. And she doesn't want anything to do with God. She don't want to come to church. She doesn't want her kids to come to church. Remember, you're the father. You're the spiritual leader. You bring your kids to church. And you put them in the Sunday school. And if she has any problem with that, then she better make a choice to stay or to leave. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to compromise in any way. People compromise so many times. So many times we need not to compromise in any way. He goes on in verse 16 again. And leaven is not sufficient to burn the forest, nor is it sufficient to burn offerings. Nations before him as nothing. They are counted by less than nothing and worthless. He says, to whom will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? He says, the workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads its gold. And the silversmith casts silver chains. Remember, people make gods of gold, silver, wood, hay. The children of Israel, after worshiping God, God said, look, you're like the church. You are to go and live a life as a life in God. And all the people outside, you know, you're supposed to be an example to lead those people to Christ as an example when you live for Christ. Israel, instead of being salt and light, what do? They compromised and they went ahead and started worshiping Ashtaroth, Baal. All the gods of the Canaanites, they began to worship and they broke their testimony with the people. That's the church today too. The church has broken, notice, our testimony, our witness to the world, because they don't see the power of God in our lives, because we compromise. We compromise in every way that we can. And yet we should never compromise. We should make a stand, draw the lines. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve God till the day I die and go be with Jesus Christ. He says, whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. Notice they worship a tree. Gods of wood. He seeks for himself a skillful workman. He makes, notice, a person to make his gods. To prepare the carved image. They will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the fountain of the earth? I mean, God says, how many times do I have to tell you? When are you going to learn? And God punished Israel and Judah for worshiping other gods. Other gods they worshiped. Verse 22. It is he who sits above the circle. A circle, the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spread them out like a tent to dwell in. Isn't that cool? The Bible has never taught a flat earth, but a round earth. He brings the princesses or the leaders to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. You know, these judges that are actually in the courts and they're misjudging people that should not be misjudged, and yet they're real criminals. They get let go. Oh man, I would hate to be a judge on the day of judgment, or the president or the governor or the king or the queen. One day they're going to stand before God and they're going to have to give an answer to God. Then he says, verse 24, scarcely shall they be planted, scarcely shall they be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. They're going to burn up. Imagine being in hell forever and ever and ever, forever. Never to see light. Murmuring, complain, no, painful. All five senses forever and ever, smelling, seeing, hearing, touching, all of it, man's going to be there in hell. 26. Lift up your eyes on high. Notice. And see who has created these things. You look up to the heavens. You know, go somewhere where there's no lights and look up to the heavens and you get blown away by all these stars. Chile is a good place to go. Down south, you can see all these stars that you can't see here. Incredible. Who brings out their host, notice the stars, by number. He numbered them. He calls them all by name. Also, they have names. And by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my just claim is passed over my God? What makes you think that you can hide from God? You can't. You can never hide from God. And yes, we think we can hide. None of us can ever hide from God. God sees everything and he hears everything. Verse 28. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength here. So the greatness of God will strengthen me in what? In my weaknesses. And surely I need to strengthen myself in the Lord. I need him to strengthen me. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And not faint. Oh man, God, help me to be like that. Help me to look to you, God, to wait upon the Lord. To renew my strength. To mount up like wings like eagles. And to run and not be weary. And to walk and never faint. Chapter 41. He's been speaking about God's greatness in chapter 40. Now God is going to challenge the world to come with their gods. He says the command here, verse 1. Keep silence before me, O coastlands. Let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together for judgment. Who raised up one? And the one here, you can mark this. This is Cyrus the king. He hasn't been born. 160 years later, he's not a Christian, and God will use him. God will use him. He says, who's in righteousness, call him to his feet, who gave the nations before him, and made him ruler over kings, who gave them as the dust of his sword, and driven stubble of his bow. God will use Cyrus the king 160 years later. To not only have the people of God go back to the land, he will protect them. God will use him. He goes on. Who pursued them and passed safely, but the way that he had not gone with his feet. Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning. Check this out. I, the Lord, I am the first and I am the last. I am he. Revelations chapter 22. Remember, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. Isn't that cool? Coastland saw it and feared. So here, the Mediterranean Sea, the cities. The ends of the earth were afraid. They drew near and they came. Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. He's speaking about Egypt, Babylon, and Assyria. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smooths with a hammer inspired him who strikes an anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. Then he fastened in his nurse with pegs that it might not totter. So here he's talking about the gods again that they're making and that they worship. He says, but you, O Israel, are my servant. Isn't that cool? Relationship with God. He says, Israel, you are my servant. Isn't that cool that we can say the same thing? Lord, you are our God. We are your servants. Jacob, whom I have chosen, the descendants of Abraham, my friend. He says, isn't that cool? My friend. He called Abraham my friend. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth. And called from the father's parts of the regions. And said to you, you are my servant. I've chosen you and have not cast you away. And then check this out. Fear not, for I am with you. Underline that, you guys. Fear not, I am with you. I love it here. That no matter what I am going through, God is with me. I need to choose him. He says, be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So if God is for us, then who can be against us? Paul said that. Verse 11, behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgrace. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. God's divine protection and defense for his people, Israel and the church, defending us. You shall seek them, their enemies, and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who make war against you, shall be as nothing, as non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, I will hold your right hand. Underline that and check this out. Saying to you, fear not again. And I will help you. Underline and memorize it. Who God is and what he's going to do in my life. Here it is again. Fear not, you worm, Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, saith the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Isn't that cool? Who's my Redeemer? Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, my God. The one that saved me, the one that takes care of me, the one that watches over my life. And he touches me, and he never leaves me nor forsakes me. Jesus, the Son of God. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains, and beat them small, and make the hills like chaff. So here we have, notice, God not only making each one of us individually, but he says, I am going to make you. Verse 16, you shall winnow them, the wind shall carry them away, that's their enemies. And the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. There it is again. Underline it. Rejoice in the Lord. The glory is the Holy One of Israel. I love Israel. That's why I've been there 35 times. The people of God. It changes your life when you go there. Every time you go, it is different. Every time you go there, the Lord speaks to you in such a powerful way that you have this great assurance after 12 days of going there. In the last place, you go over to the Garden of Gethsemane and you go over to the Mount of Olives. You go over to have communion by the Mount of the Skull on the other side, and there we partake of communion together and we become one, because this is the place where Jesus rose again from the dead, the tomb. If you haven't been to Israel, man, you need to go. Your life will be different. Seriously, when you read the Bible, it will be different. Verse 17, the poor and the needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongue fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, God of Israel, will not forsake them. When you go to Israel, it's nothing but desert. You go down by the Dead Sea today, and you're coming from the Galilee. The back part's going to the Jordan Valley. On the other side is Moab. And you see nothing but desert, but you know they grow bananas, they grow peaches and oranges in the desert. Israel, God's people, the place where nothing existed, the land of what? The land of promise, the land of fruit that God would give to them. Again, look what he says here, verse 17, the poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongue fails for thirst, but I, the Lord, will hear them. And I, the Lord of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open the rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. That sounds like today, the prophecy. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia tree, the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider, understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this. Underline it. And the Holy One of Israel has created it. Wow. He says in verse 21, he says, present your case, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the King of Jacob. He says, it's like a court. Bring to me your case. Let them bring forth and show us what will happen. Let them show the former things what they were, that they may consider them and know the latter end of them. Notice giving us some evidence here. The false gods, he's challenging them. If you're really God, then show me. Show the things that come after, that you may know that you are God's. He says, if you are God, then prophesy the future. They couldn't. Palm readers, witchy boards, all these things say, show me the future. They can't show you the future, only God. He's the only one. The people worship all these idols and they sacrifice to them. Yes, you do good or do evil, that we may display and see it together. Now, one of the things that I thought about here is that here is God, and he's talking about sacrifices. And think about how people worship and sacrifice to these gods, like Buddha, Krishna, Muhammad. There's so many gods today in the world, and people rather worship a piece of stone, a piece of wood. Think about that. And yet, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The word truth is God has to be real in my life. Real in my life. I encourage you, I exhort you, people, love God. He loves you so much. Indeed, you are nothing. Your work is nothing. He chooses you in an abomination. Speaking of those gods, I have raised up Cyrus. One is Cyrus here from the north. And Cyrus shall come from the rising of the sun from the east. He shall call on my name, and he shall come against the leaders as though mortar and as the potter treads clay. Who has declared from the beginning that we may know in the former times that we may say he is righteous. Notice that. Where is the God that told you of things to happen? There is no God, only one. Only one. Surely there is no God who shows. Verse 27. The first time I said to Zion, look, there they are. And I will give to Jerusalem one who brings good tidings. For I looked and there was no man. I looked among them, but there was no counselor. Who, when I asked of them, goodness could answer a word. The gods Baal, Ashtoreth, and Molech. Molech was the god of abortion. Down in the Jerusalem, down by the trash, they would have Molech standing there with his arms this way, and they would light it on fire until the actual image would turn red in the fire. And they would take their little babies and they would cook them. The worship of Molech. Look at all the abortions today. All those babies have been killed. And maybe you're here tonight. You come to Christ. He's forgiven you. Satan would like to condemn you. But we need to understand that there's so many people killing their babies. When God is the one that loves those babies. And when they kill them, they'll be in heaven. God loves children. And then think of the false gods. Indeed, they are false gods, are all worthless. Their works are nothing. Their molten images are wind and confusion. Notice what he says here. He says, the false gods are nothing, but I am the Lord your God. Father, thank you so much for your word. God, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, Jesus. Lord, for my children, for my grandbabies, Lord God, for my wife. And Lord, for all these beautiful brothers and sisters, Lord, at Calvary Chapel, Lord. And Lord, those all over the world, Father, that are being persecuted. Lord, that have nothing. Lord, protect and watch over them, Jesus. And Lord, help us to make a stand. To be righteous before you, Lord. Lord, not to compromise in any way, Lord God. But Lord, to get rid of all of our false gods, whatever we worship, Lord God, let us help get rid of it, Lord God. But to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We honor you, Jesus.